Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ. My name is Will, and I have the joy of serving here at West End as pastor of spiritual formation. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a community that believes that God creates us to exist as the loving light of Jesus Christ. We connect in worship, and we're transformed in worship. And if you are here with us in worship today, we'd love to know of your presence. You can fill out the attendance sheet in your pew, or you can follow the appropriate link online to register your attendance in worship with us today. I want to remind us of a couple of constants in our worshiping life together. First off, we are so grateful that this is a community where God is bringing all people. And especially, we give God great thanks for the people in our community with disabilities who are teaching us about the fullness of God's grace and love. And so often, we will have service dogs here present with us in worship in the sanctuary. And I want to remind you that those dogs are working. So please do not call out to that dog or pet those dogs, even though they be cute. I also want to remind us that we are a community that we're so blessed to have universities nearby. And so we want to cultivate the life and fellowship of our university students. And so after the 11 o'clock service every Sunday, as our universities are meeting, we have what's called chat and chew. So if you are a university student, we invite you to join us in the back of the sanctuary, in the narthex, after worship in the 11 o'clock service, where Molly Borneman will lead you to lunch with chat and chew today. I also want to lift up our eyes to a couple of announcements or a couple of opportunities in the coming weeks for us to gather together as a community. We are creating space beginning this Tuesday for a six-week grief group. You can find out more bulletins or more details in the bulletin about when that group is meeting and where that group is meeting and how you can register. But know that this group is especially designed to create space for those who are grieving to process particular grief around negotiating the holidays, and especially negotiating the holidays without a loved one for the first time. So we invite you, if you find yourself as one of those persons, to attend this grief group that begins this Tuesday. On Friday night, we're giving our parents a break. We're having a parents' night out. This will be an opportunity for children to play together while parents have time for connection. More details, again, can be found in the bulletin about how you can register online if you are a parent that is seeking a break. Also want to celebrate that next Sunday here in the sanctuary, we will have a time and space to commune with God through the liturgy of the Tizay community. This is a time and space where we will also make room to receive anyone as if they were Christ and to anoint with oil in an ancient practice of healing prayer. And then finally, we recognize that our college students are preparing to go into finals in the coming weeks. We want to cultivate that connection with our students in a time that can be stressful. And so we are beginning to put together our care packages, as is our custom. If you are interested in helping put together a care package, you can reach out to Amy Baxter and know that the due date, you could say, for those care packages is November 24th. Friends, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to gather together as God's people to worship, to be reminded of our story through the witness of Ruth, and to find the grace and love of God transforming our lives today.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Oh God, we are wonderfully and beautifully made.
We are your people, and the light of our sun is beneath us.
Let us join in worship as we remember your love.
We worship together, united in the Spirit.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Eternal Comforter, we apologize for our willingness to leave, for how easy it is to turn away from your creations. Give us the wisdom to know when to stay, and help us find the courage to remain steadfast in our love. Calm our fears in the face of uncertainty. Make us aware of your never-ending mercy and care. Travel with us, God of hope, and we will let ourselves be guided by the light of your Spirit. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If you'd like to read along, it's 211 in your pew Bible and 114 in the story Bible. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now, wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth and became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed, the father who became the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of God for the people of God.
Invite our children to come forward to join me in a children's moment. So come on up, y'all. Nice. Hey, Annie. Very good. Come on up. Loveys are welcome. Let's see how many different animal loveys we can get up here today. Come on up, y'all. We got more than enough room. Wonderful. All right, friends. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Bible trivia that you might not have learned, but one day you will. And when you are at the time when you are learning the Bible and the order of the books of the Bible, you can impress your Sunday school teachers with this knowledge. Are you ready? The book of Ruth is smack dab in the middle, like a peanut butter sandwich, between two other books. The first one is called Judges, and the second is called 1 Samuel. And like a peanut butter sandwich, right in the middle is the story we call Ruth. Okay? Y'all hear that? And these other two books of the Bible, they're all about powerful people. They're about judges. They're about kings. They're about all these people who have power. And then right in the middle is the story of Ruth. And it's about the power that people like you and me have to shine the light of Christ, to love your neighbor, to care for people who have needs. And so what I want you to hear today so clearly is that God has really big hopes for you, no matter how little you are. You are going to play an extraordinary role, a huge role, as a character in God's story. And it's really simple in how you do that. All you have to do is love your friends. All you have to do is make room for new friends. All you have to do is care for people. And so I know that in children's church every Sunday, you're learning a song that maybe we could sing today. And I would love the adults, if you feel so led, to sing it with me. It's a song you might have heard. It goes, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." One more verse. "Hide it under a bushel." No! "I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No! "I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No! "I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Would you pray with me? God, might the loving light of Jesus Christ shine in all of our lives, today and every day. Amen. I'm going to invite 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, as well as kindergartners. If you want to, yes, of course, go. Follow Pastor Maggie and Emily to Children's Church. Great. Wonderful. And I'm going to invite all of the rest of us here, if you would pray with me. May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you even say? What's the script? That was the pair of questions that a stranger in a coffee shop asked me a couple of weeks ago. I was studying in preparation for today, and I had my Bible open, and I'm one of those old souls that likes to take notes in a moleskin. And so I had a notebook full of notes, and he asked me the question, "What do you say? What's the script?" I heard more of his story, and he was wondering what goodness, what healing, what hope the church could offer the world after such a tenuous and tumultuous season in our life as a country, after words have been used to cajole us and convince us and to attack each other, after words have been used to stir up our deepest fears. What do you even say? What's the script? And friends, I want to be really clear that there is no script. God loves us too much. Miraculously, God trusts us too much just to dictate out our lives in a script. God is still speaking. We are still listening. God is still creating and perfecting the world around us. We say that at our affirmation of faith almost every Sunday. The prayer of the people called Methodists, our morning prayer, is new every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in this world. Every day, all day, God is working for good in this world. Let me be clear about something else. I didn't say all that to this guy I met at the coffee shop. I would have really freaked him out. And it inevitably would have meant that anytime you saw me at a coffee shop, you would have walked away. So I didn't say all that. But I believe it's the word we need to hear today. Friends, we are not a scripted people. We are a storied people. And I want to make abundantly clear that our story is the story of God. Our story is not the story of Donald Trump. Just as it was not the story of Joe Biden, our story is the story of God. And the only person who tells us how to live our story is Jesus, speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, Jesus directs our attention to the immigrant story and experience of Ruth, an extraordinarily powerless person. Jesus directs our attention to the story and experience of Ruth and how we might see anew where and how God is calling us to live today. And so I want to catch us up on what is happening in Ruth, where we are in Ruth. The lectionary we heard Jeff read, it jumps to chapter 3. So I'm going to take a few moments to narrate this story for us because the details are so important. Pastor Stacy, she set the scene last week in reminding us that Ruth takes place during the time of the judges, which was an extraordinarily unsettling time in the political life of Israel. The common refrain in the book of Judges is this: everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no moral compass. There was a vacuum of leadership and character. That is the context of this moment where we find this story. And beyond political disaster, the natural disaster of famine has forced Naomi and her husband and her two sons to leave their town in Bethlehem and to go to Moab, which is like modern-day Jordan. When Ruth chapter 1 begins, Naomi's sons and her husband have died, and she is alone with her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah makes the courageous decision to go and return back to her family, as Pastor Stacy mentioned last week. While Ruth chooses to cling herself, her future, her life, to Naomi. And so Ruth and Naomi are now returning back to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem. Ruth is returning back to her home, or Naomi is returning back to her home with Ruth, a Moabite. So a Moabite in this context was about as much of an outsider as you could possibly get. One of my seminary professors, Willie Jennings, said that in the small town of Bethlehem, to call somebody a Moabite was essentially to cuss him out. Reason being, it's a story recorded in the book of Numbers. The Moabites blocked the pilgrim people of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness. They sought even to curse them and resist them, to deny them life and passage. They were seen as the enemy. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, which is our understanding of the last sermon of Moses, our retelling of Moses' last sermon, in Deuteronomy 23:6, Moses commands God's people. He says, "Do not concern yourself with the life and well-being of Moabites as long as you live." Hear that again, Deuteronomy 23:6. "Do not concern yourself with the health and well-being of Moabites as long as you live." So Naomi is returning home with Ruth, a Moabite. Friends, you cannot get into a more vulnerable place and position unless you're a Ruth. Ruth is coming without family, without children, without husband, without any economic means of survival to a people who have passed down a story of her otherness for generations. She's doing whatever she has to do just to live another day, including gleaning the fields, which was essentially a social safety net in Israel, where after the harvest had already been picked, people who were desperately hungry could go and pick up whatever scraps were left just to survive. Recognizing the peril of her situation, many commentators look at Ruth and they say that Ruth is the second Abraham. Yet unlike Abraham, the patriarch of our faith, Ruth left home, she left country, she left family without a promised future from God. She left solely on the basis of love in the present. And friends, I think we really need to think deeply about how many immigrants in our country are in that same peril of love today. When Ruth and Boaz first meet, it's the picture that is on the front of your bulletin, a creative interpretation of this moment. Ruth has been gleaning the fields of Boaz all day, and when she meets Boaz, she immediately bows down. She refuses to look up at him, and she draws his attention to the poverty of her otherness. In Ruth chapter 2, she says, "Who am I that you notice me? I'm an immigrant." And Boaz immediately responds. He draws attention to the wealth of her love. He says, "The story of your faithfulness and your love to Naomi, it's circulating throughout the town. Your resourcefulness, your resilience, your trust in a God that makes a way where there seems to be no way, it's circulating throughout the town." And so Boaz does the unimaginable, maybe even the unlawful, to remind us of Deuteronomy. He offers to Ruth his protection and his promise of loving care. He even goes behind the scenes to make sure that she and Naomi are fed. And as the story progresses, we get the details of Ruth continuing to do whatever she must do just to survive another day, including the potentially deadly scandal of embracing Boaz in the night. We see Boaz continuing to make room in his life for the unexpected one, for the inconvenient one. He takes on the role of kinsman redeemer. He inherits the risk of this family that has no future, all for the sake of love. If you've not read Ruth, I invite you to do so this afternoon. It's a 4-chapter book. You can make time. And what you'll notice in Ruth is that every single character in this story goes beyond and even around the obligations of the law for the sake of genuine love. And in their love for one another, in their openness to make room and to receive the other, they open the way to a future that no one would have ever expected or imagined. We heard that at the end of the lectionary. that they made a way for the coming of the future king of Israel, King David, and beyond that, they made a way for the coming of the Christ. That this is the story of Jesus' ancestors, a story that will take on flesh as a teenage mother named Mary gives birth to a baby boy named Jesus in a Bethlehem manger. And by our adoption through grace, this is our family story too. Where a radical openness to receive the other makes a way where there seems to be no way. I've been particularly humbled by this story in recognizing how one of the defining images of our political life in the United States this year has been that of a closed fist. And that so much of the language that Republicans and Democrats and independents, the language that we are all using is this language of fighting and forcing our way into the future. And it's been a gift from God to receive this story and to recognize that there's actually another way. That when we are radically open to the direction of God, and we are radically open to a love that makes even our enemies friends, and when we're radically open to making room in our homes and in our lives and in our church for those who are oppressed, for the materially poor, for the working parent who's living paycheck to paycheck, for the immigrant who is here from the peril of love, for the transgender teenager who wonders what their future looks like, for the person of color or indigenous peoples who wonder if they're safe, for the people in our city who are unhoused, if we make room in our lives for them, God will show us the way. And I recognize that this openness, it's vulnerable, y'all. I've learned in my life that I can control and dictate the terms of a fight. You cannot control where love leads. You can't. Trust me, I've tried. You can't do it. And it requires courage to open up your heart again if you're broken, if you're despairing, if you're disillusioned about where we are as a nation. It requires courage to be open to God, joining your hand with your neighbor to serve them in love. It requires openness if every day of your life you're just having to fight to survive, to make ends meet. It requires openness to receive the gentleness and generosity of a stranger. I mentioned Willie Jennings earlier. He had a way of saying that if you invite Jesus into your heart, you best be prepared that Jesus always brings a lot of his friends. So be careful. Be open. And I was so grateful that last week, our church, our community, we engaged that open posture. How on Wednesday night, we celebrated receiving 13 men who are experiencing homelessness for a meal, for communion. We housed them for a night as part of Room in the Inn. The third floor was filled with the voices of children who are preparing for our Advent candle lighting service, when we will light our candles boldly in hope and fill a dark room with light. Here in the sanctuary, we received people wherever they were in processing whatever was happening in our nation to pray, to receive communion, and to be healed in the love and light of Christ. We received anyone as if they were Christ. In particular, I was blessed by a series of conversations I had with one visitor. She came first on Tuesday night to our open sanctuary. And while in theory, opening up the front doors of the church to receive the city is a great idea, in practice, it means that there will be 4 fire trucks on Weston Avenue, and the city utility workers will be changing the garbage at the bus station, the bus stop right there. So the narthex was echoing sound and smelled like garbage when we received this visitor. And yet, despite those less than ideal conditions, your love, your warmth, your generosity translated to her welcome. Oh, I should also mention that she's Chinese. She's here to visit her son who's trying to make a career in research. And it was a gift to watch you all speak to her, her receive it in her translation app, and then speak to it again and translate back to you. And in that pause and speaking, the way the Holy Spirit united you together was so beautiful to watch. Your openness was clear enough to her that she came back again on Wednesday night to pray and to receive communion, and she was so excited to share with us her faith story and videos of how she worships God. She left us with a benediction. She joyfully spoke into her translation app, and then she shared it with us, and it says, "There is no greater joy in life than knowing the love of Jesus." Friends, when we are open to the possibilities and the power, and most importantly, the people of God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We are not a scripted people, we are a storied people. So may we live and make room in our lives for the most desperate people in our community with the kindness and the generosity of Boaz, going beyond the obligations of the law for the sake of genuine love. May we drink deeply from the reservoir of Ruth's courage, living with faithfulness and imagination and trust in God, even in the most trying of times. May our world know the grace and the love and the joy of God because of you. Amen.
Good morning, Weston. Please rise in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We're called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. A memorial service for Richard Scott Lasella, who passed away on October 31st, has been set for Friday, November 15th, at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service, beginning at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. Elizabeth York Gerlach passed away on Friday, November 1st. Among her survivors are her children, Kim, Scott, and Jeff Gerlach. A memorial service is scheduled for November 22nd at 1 p.m. at Harpeth Hills, Funeral Home. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 10:30 a.m. Betty Smith Dobson passed away on November 7th at the age of 103. Among her survivors are her sister and brother-in-law, Lynn and Jack Agee, daughter and son-in-law, Jean and Bill Farris, daughter, Cora Dobson, and son and daughter-in-law, Matt and Ann Dobson. Funeral services will take place on Saturday, November 16th at 1:30 p.m., and visitation will be in Reed Hall beginning at noon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, who is awake, we are grateful that your love cannot be separated from truth-telling and justice. For too long, we have known complacency and subjugation masquerading as love. Move us toward communities who are capable of the real thing. Our government, our justice system, our institutions have been infiltrated and poisoned by empires whose goal is a steady, desperate grasping for more power. Root this out, God. Raise up leaders who can kneel, who can draw near to those whose power has been overcome by socioeconomic injustice. God, expose how evil our systems truly are. May all those we've pushed to the margins rise up and receive what has been stolen from them. May every prisoner remain grounded in their own dignity in a world that sells, trades, and forces them into unpaid labor. May every cop whose hand rushes to the trigger encounter the darkest parts of their own hearts before they discover it at our expense. May the wealthy contend with the utter void in their own interior worlds that causes them to devour resources and people in hopes of satiating an unfathomable greed. And God, reveal yourself as near to the brokenhearted, the suffering, the imprisoned, the impoverished, and unloved. Make us agents of true restoration in a tired world, that we would commit ourselves to the dismembering, the schemes of injustice in which love is never complicit. Amen. Prayers for a justice system that cannot be trusted by Cole Arthur Riley. Now join me in saying the prayer that our Christ Savior has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, and while here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
Ellen Davis is an Old Testament scholar, and she says that after the cataclysmic time of the judges, we see and hear the still small voice of Ruth leading the way into a new future. Brothers and sisters, might we go forth into the world to listen to the still small voice of God amidst the noise of the world. Might we see our neighbors in the fullness of their wealth of love. Might we surprise the world with our generosity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.